Good morning, everybody. It's the 3rd of March, March 3rd, 2022. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We've got my good friends here from edweb.net. We've got Lisa Schmucke here. They're my good friend, my old pal, and who's the founder and CEO of edweb.net, which is free, by the way. We'll say that a few times during the show. It's free to educators. And Melissa Hodgson, who's their manager of member services. They're both be calling in from New Jersey. We're going to talk about this new guide they have, the Guide to Best Practices for Virtual Professional Learning, which is has taken off on new heights since the pandemic happened, and it's still going on. And I think it's a new way to look at things. It's really cool. So that's what EdWeb does. It's professional learning virtual. But we got a best practices guide coming out. We're going to talk about it with Melissa and Lisa, and we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. ace-ed.org. That's the home website for Equity and Access, our magazine, which is all you got to do is go over to ace-ed.org, click on the cover. You can read a great magazine. We've got a ton of articles over there on the website. We've got a link to seltoday.org, our other website, all about social emotional learning. And, of course, we archive every podcast over there, just like we're going to do with this one again at ace-ed.org. I'm in Maine. It's almost 60 degrees, the thermometer says today, although I'm looking at a giant pile of snow where it's all been plowed. How is the weather in New Jersey, Lisa Schmucke? How's the weather, Lisa?
Well, I have to go look at my app because I haven't even been outside. So, good morning, Larry. You're making
good
me
morning, darling. How are you?
All I've done is sit at my desk all morning. It's 42 degrees here, so it's warmer in Maine than it is
Can
in New Jersey.
It? There you go.
There you go.
That's
wow,
because
upside
M
down.
Comes before N in the alphabet, so it makes sense. I don't know why I'm saying that. Good morning, Melissa. Welcome back.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, as a matter of fact, just fine, and enjoying a sunny, almost, it says 60 degrees. I don't know why. I mean, I have a broken thermometer, but it says
no,
that.
I am jealous. I'm like Lisa. I haven't been out of my house yet, but it looks lovely out.
I will make you unjealous, okay? They also predicted it'll be minus 4 tonight. I'll make you unjealous.
Okay, cured. Not jealous anymore.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, well, this is the way it works in March around here, and then all of a sudden spring hits and we're all happy. How much does EdWeb cost, Lisa?
I keep forgetting to say that it's free.
It's free. EdWeb.net. And I'll let Melissa do this. Melissa, you tell us what EdWeb.net is as if there's anyone who doesn't know. If you don't know, please wake up. Go ahead. Tell us, Melissa. EdWeb.net.
So we are EdWeb.net is a free professional learning network. We provide educators with online professional learning communities
yes,
and our Ed webinars, which are, again, free. We have a global community of over a million educators from pre-K through higher education.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, and I never heard that word. Wait a minute. I like the word Ed webinar. I don't remember anybody ever saying that one before. Ed webinar? Is that new?
For a while, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, not new.
Ed webinars. Ed webinar.
Yeah, and people will email us and say, hey, I just watched one of your Ed webs. I mean, they even call it an Ed web, so it
becomes like Scotch tape, or I'm going to Xerox something.
Branded.
I'm going to Ed web today. Yeah. Nice. It's good. Look what you have built, Lisa. It's unbelievable.
Well, I tell you, you know, we talked, Larry, I was looking back, so our last chat was on January 20th, so just a few weeks into this year, and we were talking about the impact of virtual everything, right, but virtual professional learning, particularly during this pandemic and some of the shifts that have happened, we've come to this conversation because Melissa and I have just been really looking at all the work that everybody's doing in this area, because it's the virtual professional learning that we've become so expert at, right? With just by doing this for, we've been doing the Ed webinars for 10 years now. And
yeah, that's right.
What we realized, well, first of all, I think people are catching up on it, but nobody had really been able to update best practices for professional learning the past couple of years with everything that's going on. We thought that we could really play a role in defining best practices for virtual professional learning. All right, there's going to be other kinds of professional learning that are going to happen as we go back to in person, right? But we thought this is something where an area where we could be particularly helpful to help people understand how they can do more with virtual professional learning. That really has, like, one of the things that we really came up with, you know, I mean, realizing is that it works.
It does work.
So we should continue.
At least I have to say, you've been doing virtual professional learning via nweb.net, okay?
Right.
You said for 10 years. And, of course, everything has a starting point. But you have proven, Ty, you didn't have to wait for the pandemic, okay?
Virtual professional
learning has worked almost since the get-go, all right? And you should be very proud of what you've done. Okay, but now it's part and parcel of the world. Okay, professional learning has changed by necessity over the last 2 years, and that's what I want to ask you. And Lisa, Melissa's always welcome to chime in here too. But I want to ask Lisa. I just want to ask you: it's the future of professional learning. Just think about that for a second. All right,
right.
And talk about that. I think it's going to change for real, for good, to a more virtual setup than it ever has been. I really believe that. And just take that, agree with me, disagree with me, or tell me what you think.
Well, I agree, and I think the realization that I had 10 years ago was that we weren't going to make the fundamental changes in education that were necessary unless we had a way for the solution providers to do the development more intimately with the educators, and that these online networks would make it possible to bring the solution providers and the educators closer together. And I was just at the ERDI conference last week, and we're partnering with them, you know, and that's their whole mission, right? Their whole mission has always been to bring industry and educators closer together. So I think, Larry, that what's so important is the challenges are so great. And the improvements aren't going to be made without the educators having the products and the services and the things that will help them make the changes that are necessary to differentiate learning and cover all the subjects that are necessary. So pandemic or not, the virtual connectivity lets us work together no matter where we are and no matter who we are.
I agree. And, Lise, talk about this guide you have to best practices for virtual professional learning. And you've been doing a report for years, okay, the survey. You've had a survey.
Yeah, so, right.
Okay,
really,
but the survey has become
busy.
A guide. We got to put all this together. Just do all that. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, please
engage Ms. Hodgson in all this.
Well,
okay?
I was just going to say, I think it makes sense for Melissa to talk about what we've come up with the guide. I can talk a little bit more about why we also timed the release of our survey to be with the guide, because we developed some practices in there that we wanted to reconfirm, you know, with the survey that we do. So, Melissa, why don't you talk? I would love for you to talk about, because you're joining us as manager of member services, made it possible for us to do this research and come up with these practices.
There you go.
So,
there you go.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this guide, because it's something that I think is relevant and useful, just like all things that come out of EdWeb are relevant and useful. This guide is relevant and useful as well. And like we've all agree, the pandemic turned education upside down.
So
we needed to create something useful for post-pandemic education and for post-pandemic educators. So we just underwent a whole bunch of research. We were looking to see what was out there already, and the first glaring thing that kind of just became so apparent was the fact that the research was pretty old. It was outdated. Even research from 2016 or 17 was, you know, this was a pre-pandemic research. So we wanted to create something by doing research, by listening to our members and going with our gut and going with our experience. That would
keyword.
Be very useful. Right.
Yeah.
It would
keyword.
Be very useful. So we came up with our 9 best practices for virtual professional learning. These are 9 qualities that characterize an exceptional virtual professional learning program. And we were able to take the 9, and each of the 9 fall under our 3 C's. They fall under either communication, content, or customization. There's 3 of our 9 best practices in there. You can go on to edweb.net and download the guide. It's available there. We have a nice infographic. It's a wheel. It shows you what the 9 best practices are. And it's things that are very necessary in today's post-pandemic classroom and school building, things such as peer expertise. We spoke last time about the fact that for budgetary reasons and scheduling reasons, experts are out of reach for many educators and for many school districts.
Correct.
And EdWeb
Correct.
Just builds that bridge, and it brings the experts to the educators. That's probably my favorite one, my favorite of the 9. That's my favorite one. And then very closely followed by timely topics. And that was something that we found that really stood out in the survey, was the fact that we are providing relevant, timely topics for our users.
Who is the, in your mind, and what you've done, who is this, the guidebook for? Who is it for?
Well, Larry, that's,
who do you
really,
want to read
that's
it?
That's a really interesting question, because, actually presented to a panel of superintendents and presented to assistant superintendents at ERDI last week. And, we haven't done that much with the superintendents and assistant superintendents, and particularly in person, right? We've all been locked up and not able to go in person. And the reaction was so incredible. And we're going to go meet with the Wayne Public Schools at the end of this month. They want us to come and present to their whole cabinet.
I'm sorry, the public schools?
About this. So Lisa, New Jersey Public Schools. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of other things coming out of that. So I think what this does is it really shows that at the superintendency level, these are issues that they're really dealing with. And it's great, because then they can help facilitate their teachers. One of the things that has come out of this from last week is trying to provide a tiered approach for a school district to use EdWeb, which could be anything from sending the link to our calendar around. You know, we do 400 live events a year. There's something there for everybody pretty much every week. To doing something like creating a webinar of the month club for your district. Or then going into communities. The Georgia Department of Ed that we talked about last time has done a much deeper engagement in terms of professional learning communities online using our resources and theirs. So sort of a tiered approach to using it, but really at the district level.
And Lise, let me ask you this, and I think this is important for the audience to understand, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know you do. Don't misunderstand my question. Who does or supports or creates, I don't know how to say that, your webinars?
Yeah.
And let me put that into perspective. You talked to superintendents last week,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
And they love the information. They understand that, let's just say they completely understand that virtual professional learning works, especially in this day and age. And, of course, I agree with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens? How will they use EdWeb to get what they need, okay, for their educators? And who will create what they need within EdWeb? And I hope I'm asking that question properly. I just want people to understand that.
Well, I think, at this point in time right now, it's sort of a blended approach where I think about our professional learning resources like supplemental services, like in education, right? We have core curriculum and supplemental curriculum, right? So I think the same thing applies here. We think that they still are going to be responsible for their core PD curriculum. And mm-hmm. if they have a community for their district on EdWeb, they can upload their core resources, right?
Got it.
And then
yep.
also
yep.
suggest that their teachers watch a webinar of the month of ours to
Thank
supplement
yep.
what they're doing. So that's the ultimate solution. But because in 44 states, their teachers can renew their state teacher's license if the district approves using EdWeb, they're giving their teachers that service just on their own to watch a webinar and help to get their teacher license renewed for free, which the teachers have to do.
But their EdWeb-created webinars, you're not asking the school district to create their own webinars on EdWeb, or maybe you are. That's what I'm trying to drive at.
Well, maybe we would see how things evolve, but I think at this point we're still relying on our sponsors. And what the thing
yeah.
is kind of hard to explain is how that's like such a crowdsourced model. We had 100 yeah. sponsors this past year, and they're amazing organizations. And they have amazing networks, and they want – to put forward their best presentation possible. So they're going and finding the best experts, you know, to your favorite thing,
right.
Melissa, that peer expertise, right?
Yeah.
They're finding their best and innovative experts to present. And the variety is so great because we work with so many people to do that.
Yeah, you really do.
And
you
I'm
do
just
it. Gonna
jump.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in there. And really,
jump.
I think what sets EdWeb apart from other professional learning solution providers is that that crowdsourcing feature, the fact that we have actual experts, because you do see many other professional learning organizations who, you know, a district might go to them and say, well, we really need something on trauma-informed education. And then it becomes that organization's job to learn everything they can about trauma-informed education and put a presentation together. And what that generalist model does is it's not really giving you, it might be giving you updated research, but it's not coming from a real expert. It's not coming from somebody who has dedicated their entire profession, their education and their academic and their profession to doing trauma-informed practices, right? And that's what sets EdWeb apart, I think, from other organizations is that we are not a generalist professional learning company. We are a expert-led, expert-driven professional learning organization.
You sure are.
You know, if somebody came to me, I was in the classroom and in administration, you know, a total of 20 years, if somebody came to me and said, Melissa, can you put together a presentation on best practices for inclusion classrooms, I mean, I could, you know, based on my academic and my experience, but that wasn't my area of specialty, right? So I could do it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go and find the best person, which is what EdWeb and our sponsors do. We go and we find the best person who has actual boots on the ground experience
yeah, you do.
In that very specific topic.
You do indeed. And let me ask this. I'll throw this out to both of you. Just put professional learning, okay, into perspective this day and age. As we're coming out of the pandemic, I might add. I hope we're coming out of it for good. I think we are. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't let your guard down, but I'm no health expert, but I feel like that. All right? And we've learned a lot about the importance of continuous professional learning. Teachers are stressed for time. All right? How much time do they have for professional learning? Lisa, if I may, again, certainly feel free to pass it to Melissa. Okay?
Mm.
Just talk about the importance or the perception, if I may, of professional learning these days, in this day and age. Go ahead.
Well,
Lisa.
You know, I think maybe I would defer to Melissa on this because Melissa, I think the traditional view of professional learning that's face to face and one size fits all, you know, is still perceived. Like you were even talking to me just this week about that difference between whether you describe it as professional development or professional learning.
That's,
you know,
interesting,
right? Because
there,
professional development tends to trigger, you know, the memories of the traditional way that was considered ineffective, where professional learning tends to now imply. Melissa, I think it'd be best if you talk about that a little.
That's very interesting, Lisa. You came up with a difference between the two. I like that. That's a change right there. That's interesting. But anyway,
that's a shift that luckily we're making, the difference between professional development, which would, exactly like Lisa said, which would have been, you know, an hour here on this topic and another hour, you know.
Yeah.
But one of our 9 best practices is actually sustained engagement. And this is what we're looking
for. That's really important.
Continuous participation in high-quality professional learning. But the thing with that is, what I think where professional development gets a really bad rap is that some people might have been forced to sit in hours and hours and hours of workshops on topics that were not relevant to them, that they
had no
interest in, right?
That's
and
right.
So what is that actually doing? That's certainly sustained, but I'm not quite sure that that's engagement. More like imprisonment, but it really
I remember too well. You're absolutely right. But please continue.
Yeah, we're gonna have to use that.
It's so funny.
Yeah, that's not engagement. That's imprisonment.
That's funny.
So what EdWeb does, and one of the reasons why sustained engagement is one of our best practices, in that we know from research that sustained engagement is an important part of professional learning, but what it lets our users do is it lets them choose, either from their own interest, or maybe their supervisor, you know, came to them and said, or principal came to them and said, I really would like you to become the point person on this topic. You seem to have an interest in it. Can you, you know, spend your professional learning time finding out as much as you can, and maybe you could be the, you know, the turnkey trainer in the district for it. Or maybe, you know, every once in a while you need to improve on this topic, and you got to do it on your own because the administrators or whoever doesn't have the time. We have the tools for sustained engagement, and that could be on one topic, or that, you know, we have 150 webinars. I just happened to look because I was answering a member email the other day. We have 150 webinars on SEL. That could be one topic, or you could have 150 different webinars on different topics because we have so many topics on EdWeb. So sustained engagement has to have that personalization to it. And what does it mean for me as the educator? What do I actually want to engage with, and to what level? And that's really what EdWeb does, and that's why we put that as one of our best practices.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I must say, by the way, I like that term, sustained engagement. We ask the same thing to kids. Okay, that's a great term. I like that. That actually, the opposite is what professional development used to be like. Okay, these crazy one-shots that somebody thought was really interesting, but in fact it wasn't 99% of the time. Okay, and and that whole idea of sustained engagement. The same thing we want for our kids is what we want for our educators. All right, and things change in education, and they're not going back to school for it. Okay, and that's the purpose to me. Okay, as we learn more and more about the science of learning and how people learn, we have to keep our professionals involved in that. You know, what were the top things of the survey, not the guidebook, the survey showed you this year? And I don't know who to ask that to. I'll give it to Melissa. You can pass it back to Lisa if you want. Top things of your survey this year on professional
learning. I'll
don't fight, girls. Don't fight. Only one of you.
Yeah. I'd be interested in Melissa's input. I mean, I kind of know the data over 5 years, so that, you know, that from that perspective. But on the other hand, Melissa looking at this for the first time, you know, can have some of that
eye-opener.
Oh, that's
cool. New eyes. new
you
eyes.
Got an eye-opener
go for it. Yeah.
reaction
yeah.
to it, right? Because yeah. I'm jaded. I've been looking at it for so long. But,
you're not jaded.
So
you're
what,
not jaded.
So what did jump out to you? What did jump out to you, Melissa, looking at that really
in the survey.
For the first time?
In the survey.
Yeah.
The very first takeaway from the survey, I think, is the thing that jumped out at me the most, and that is that webinars are the professional learning activity that helps them most improve.
That's very important.
Yeah. Right. And I think that that's something that maybe 15 years ago, you know, we had the internet and we had the capability of doing it, but I don't know that anybody would have given it the time. Right. And now I think, you know, especially with the pandemic and us being so dependent upon the internet, that takeaway just really jumped out as being the professional learning activity that helps people improve the most.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one. And then, of course, the fact that we, you know, that the content is current and relevant, that's, again, just so, so important
right.
in education.
Yeah, and
but,
Larry, my perspective on that is, like, you know, the very first time we asked this question, because we said, what helps you, what activities help you the most? And the range of choices was from webinars to conferences, workshops, online communities, teacher education, PD that the district or school is providing, and PD provided by vendors. So those are the choices, right? And when we asked that question the first time and webinars came out the highest, I was just blown away. I was like, are you kidding
yeah.
me? But and the one thing about this data over 5 years is these questions that we've asked consistently, the responses are so consistent. But webinars responses never been higher. Over 50% said that they were the most helpful. Unbelievable.
It is
and
unbelievable.
Larry, one of the,
it is unbelievable. Go ahead.
Sure. We give our survey takers the chance to comment, to actually leave open-ended comments. And the one that I love the most is,
yes.
I've learned more in a 60-minute webinar than I have in some full university courses.
There you go.
But, you know, it is also tied to, I also really like this question about what elements are important to you in a program. So Melissa did refer to the importance of content being current and relevant. And we've only asked that question for 3 years. And that's because we didn't have it in there initially, but because of those comments that we get every time, and we get so many of them, so many of them said, you know, your content is so current. It's so fresh.
Right.
That's why I love it. I was like, wow, we should be asking about that. And then, boom, it was the number one thing that was most important. But the flexibility, because you were getting at this before, Larry, the flexibility to participate on their own time, that's what the webinars give them, because they can come live or recorded, right? And
so
it's given them unprecedented flexibility that they never had before.
And the other thing is that
they're free. So, just not to forget that.
I had no idea. I thought it cost money. No, it's free. It's free, everybody. And we have not done it. Okay.
Right.
I have another question since you're on this topic. The content is fresh and what people need right now. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a weird question. I don't know how to ask this. I'll just answer. Who's picking the content? Who decides what's fresh and new and exciting? Which I think, by the way, is great. Okay, but how
That's
are you determining?
Sponsor. That's the sponsor or the partner. We leave that almost 100%, and we just have amazing organizations doing this. And
I agree.
It's really a reflection of the quality of work of the organizations that are the solution providers in this industry.
Thank you.
They're unbelievable.
Thank you. They are. And, you know, hold on, I got a cough. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Excuse me. This is what I've been saying for a while. It's industry voice.
Yeah.
This is what I call
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And too many people see our industry as the sales rep who pops in every 3 months. But that
right.
is not the industry. The industry has thousands, many of them ex-educators, who actually they're still educators, but they're working on the industry side, who are on
right.
top of things. And it's a very symbiotic relationship between the professionals in school and the professionals in the industry. Okay, and they do know what's going on, and this is always been a peeve
mm-hmm.
of mine that we don't
oh,
that we,
huh.
we do, but we don't give
yeah.
the people don't understand how deep the industry goes with this and the work that we do here, the work that you guys do at EdWeb. Okay, it's the same type of thing. We appreciate the industry and we know it. That's what gives giving the industry voice is extremely important beyond understanding. A lot of them are trying to sell you something. The reason they're trying to sell you something is because you need it. Okay, go ahead.
Larry, I don't know what the numbers of this are. I don't know if there's anything published on this, but I would really be curious to know what percentage of industry content creators, right? So not the salespeople, right? But I think those numbers would be interesting too. But those who are on the product side, those who are developing, what percentage of the industry content creators were originally educators? I think that
yeah.
number would be unbelievably high.
I was just going to say,
I bet it would be extremely high. Okay, I agree. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
amazing.
Because
and
it's funny, like being kind of fresh out of the classroom. Even when I was a supervisor,
yeah.
I was still teaching a class, and it you could tell when you were reading something that was allegedly made for use in the classroom, you know, a third party. You could tell if it was written for kids, you know, you could tell if it was written. And if I knew it was written for kids, I knew it was written by an educator, but with
yeah,
somebody with experience
go.
Who knew
there
what
go.
Kids needed, you know, and so I would absolutely agree that it would be a very high percentage.
Yeah, it's got to be. And, I mean, Melissa, I hate to say it, Roy, you're sort of on the industry side now. Okay, just out of the classroom, as you said, and you're a perfect example of this, okay, that what you're doing now working for EdWeb as opposed to working for a school district, okay, is extremely, just using you as the example, is extremely important to education and the educational process. All right, think about that for a second, you know, really, it's really
and Larry,
just amazing.
And to us.
Yes.
And to us, because... being able to partner with Melissa working on this guide together, like I think we
yeah.
each saw how we each brought, you know, something to the creation of this. And it was
right.
like an incredible partnership working on it.
Oh, that's nice. It's great stuff.
Yeah, it's just so great
right.
to see it, like, in, you know, see it actually come together. It was
Yeah,
it
it's
was
amazing,
great.
Isn't it? It actually works. It's like watching a kid get an A. Taking a
yeah.
blank piece of kid and watching them learn something. Watch a kid learn to read. Think about that. It's just amazing. Ladies, thank you both. This is wonderful. Everybody, edweb.net is free. And don't be a fool.
You,
get involved with it.
You're,
okay?
You're
yeah, you'll be nuts
fan.
Not to. Okay? You got to be nuts not to. All right? We've done everything we can. We love working with you. Lisa, Melissa,
thank you,
ladies.
Larry.
You guys are the
Thanks,
best.
Larry.
Okay? You're
care.
Welcome.
Enjoy
Thank
the 60-degree day.
I'm going to.
Stay
I'm going to. I'm going to go out and make a snowball at 60 degrees and minus four tonight. You guys take care.
Watch the
okay?
snow melt.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks. Larry.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Lisa Schmucke and Melissa Hodgson from edweb.net, which is free for educators, for everybody. Go over there, check it. That's great stuff. Believe me, it's great stuff. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for listening.